two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands, rather, is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Greetings and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. The Let's Talk podcast is where we seek to have conversations through the very lenses of Christ's eyes. And today I am so happy and excited to be in this studio.
Yay!
With a few of my brothers and friends. One is still a brother. The other has been
a soldier.
No, not a soldier. He has been a fellow warrior and sojourner on this planet called Took. But so yeah, I'll invite them to say hi before we begin.
I don't know whether I'm the sojourner or the brother, but I think I'm the brother.
Yeah.
Following the previous episode,
sure.
Brother in Christ.
Yeah.
We're in the ninth planet, Took, and we are grateful to have you. My name is Emmanuel Siniv. I'm glad to join us for this episode. Karibuni sana. Yes.
Okay, I believe I'm the sojourner or the pilgrim to say. I'm Eric Okusimba, a student, a fellow soldier with Akas Placid. And I'm glad to be part of this podcast. Yeah, and looking forward to learn.
Thank you very much, Eric. He's too kind to mention that he's the
he's very kind.
Yeah, very kind and humble. Very he's a very kind. Humble young man. You may not see him, but you can even hear from his voice.
Yes.
Yes. He served as the chairperson.
Chairperson.
The wow. Chair. The chair. Yani without him, the chair is no longer there. You know, people can't sit.
Yeah. Literally.
Yes. Of a Christian union, an entire Christian union, being the chair. Wow. You can share that later. But the chair of Took, and today we're going to talk about accountability. And as we continue, we want to look at its importance, at its essence, and what it actually means. And maybe just to start us off, Simiu and Okusimba, are you accountable to anyone? So that we know we are speaking with people who have some form of experience.
Yeah, I would say I'm accountable to. I have close friends whom I'm accountable to. They know me inside out, and one of them is my roommate. I can attest to it that we talk, and I'm accountable to him. And most importantly, I believe I'm accountable to God, because even as the word says. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, that we should be careful of each and every word, because it will be brought to account for it. So, most importantly, I'm also accountable to God, I believe.
Yeah. You people should have started by saying what accountability is. But, it's okay. I believe I am. I have friends. I have brothers who are with me. Steve is a very close friend, so we get to share a lot together. And yeah, I'm accountable to my family as well at home. Our family at home, you know, how I lead life, how I'm a student. I'm accountable to my sister. My sister is my roommate.
Nah.
Oh, no, we stay together. So I'm also accountable to her and the many other people who are in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the great accountability, doing it all because we shall give an account to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Good to hear that. I am also similarly accountable to a few brothers here and brothers there. But at the heart, as I had been preparing, you or I got to realize that at the heart of accountability is the very truth or the very concept of stewardship. That Simiu, the air that you breathe is not your own, that the money that you have, you got it from somewhere, that everything we have in this life, we have been given. Even in the parable of the shrewd manager, he's called to give an account of his work. And there are so many other scenarios and instances. Even when we were young, you would come home late, and the first question would be, tell us, where have you come from? You know, give an account of where you have come from. And even before you left, it's like, unaoga, unaenda wapi? You know, you have to give an account to someone. And parents have also been a great source of accountability for us, because they have to know where we are going, what we are going to do, who we are going to do it with, for how long, what do we need, when we are coming back. And so this concept is because, first of all, they also do care for us, and the life that we live is not our own. And another puzzling thing I also realized, not a puzzling, but a beautiful thing, even from the portion of scripture we have read, we are told that if either of them falls down, say I am accountable to Okusimba, when it says if either of them falls down, that shows the potential of me or him, such that accountability is not only for our own benefit, but also you are accountable to someone, so that when they fall down, you will be there to lift them up. You will be their source of strength, their source of courage, their source of comfort. And so accountability is sort of two-way. It is not me looking for someone to help me, but also me looking for someone whom I can help and be of great assistance to.
Amazing. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, Steve. And also the exhortation in Hebrews. Do not forsake the gathering of believers. Was to take us to the point of accountability to a local church, you know, having brethren who are aware of, are you born again, you know, did you pray yesterday, are you loving your wife, are you loving your children, you know, are you accountable to the Lord, are you doing the nitty-gritties that you ought to do, are you a devoted Christian, are you disciplined with these habits of grace, you know, a prayer, reading God's word, and stuff. So accountability in essence is quite important for every believer, because apart from stewardship, it allows us to be responsible to the very, very many things we are supposed to do. Say you need to do your chores well, you know, you need to spend your money wisely, you need to do ABC, you need to do ABC. So having a sect of believers, having a sect of brothers who can tie you to what you should do as a believer or as a Christian in that capacity is quite important. And most importantly is having it with believers like yourself, you know. Accountability is more defined by that, you know. For non-believers, you may be accountable to these other things that may be quite ungodly. You know, not to say that we are righteous, no, not to say that we are without sin, but we have like-minded people who are able to return us to God's will and to direct us in a sound path.
Maybe also to add on, I think when you were speaking of accountability in the local church, there's this portion of scripture. I know Edaka knows that I really love this portion in James chapter 5, it's from verse 16, which speaks of confessing your sins to each other. Allow me read James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And looking at the church context, I believe even as James was writing, he was addressing the church in terms of you being ready to be accountable for your actions. And even whenever you sin, being ready to confess. one of the podcasts that we had was on confession, and I see a close correlation between accountability and confession, in terms of, you know, that I'm accountable. Each and everything I do, first of all, I'm accountable to God and even to the people God has placed on my way. That's what I felt I should add on this here.
Just to add something, it is in Revelation chapter 2, the loveless church. You know, you see, it is John who is writing this message. And this is a church that has labored, you know. Chapter 2 of Revelation, say, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You know, they have this discernment that they want to deal with sin. You have tested those who say are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. So they have done everything. You know, they are open. They are like the Bereans who are looking into these things. But then there is one thing that the Lord is saying he has against them, that they have forsaken the first love. Right? You know, to the point of, how accountable are we? How accountable is this church? Yeah, they are doing A, B, C. They were, they could not, they were ready to detest heresies, you know, false teachers. But then they had neglected the first love, you know, the first love. So I think it is accountability that is able to shed light into this, to see that, look, brother, you're not fully right. You have issues that you ought to deal with, you know, as you are passing with flying colors. In one sect, there is another sect that you're really doing and you ought to call both. So it is accountability that is able to shed light into this other sect, bring us to the perfect faith.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for those insights. And the major or the primary call to accountability is driven by, I think, Simeo, you alluded to it sometime when you were speaking, is on the greater accountability that we have. Time and again in scripture, we are told that God shows no favoritism. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, between verse 1 and 10, we are told that the Lord will sort of judge each one's work. In 1 Peter as well, chapter 1, verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. The same is also spoken of in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, and again in verse 5, we are told that, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, who is God. Again in the book of Romans, that the Lord does not show any form of favoritism, that what you have done and what I have done, we ought to give an account for. And what are these things that we should give an account for? Is it not how we spend our money? Do we spend it to glorify the Lord? Is it not only in the big things, but also in the minute and in the seemingly small things? That how do you spend your time in the morning? What do you consider a form of entertainment? The words that you use, how kind are you with your very own words? Be it to the mama mboga, or even to your lecturer, to a fellow student, to your parents, to Makanga. First of all, those ones have really been unkind and harsh to me. If I have to give an account there, the Lord ought to forgive me. But you know, as in, despite whatever comes your way, how do you respond to it? You know? And we are to give an account not only to each other, but ultimately to God the Father.
Yeah. I think when we do it for the glory of the Lord, then living life becomes easy.
Sure.
You know, our lives become purposeful. You know, we are purposefully living. Sure. You know, we are living to glorify the Lord, not to gratify ourselves. So we have an end goal to these things. And just to not underscore what he has said is, I think the true marks of a disciple, the true child of God, is the willingness to leave the little things to the glory of God. You know, I come to school every day. I attend classes in time, you know, there are students here, our listeners. I don't answer back. I'm quick to apologize. I'm not self-seeking. I'm self-discerning. Okay, well, true. These are things that we all grapple with, right? But it's true that if we are given to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, then I think that is a greater sign of what we have believed, for whom we have actually believed. And so living life is easier when we live it for the glory of the Lord, and it makes every other thing wholesome in its totality.
Yeah, thank you. And I believe also as you are speaking, in the last reference is Colossians 3, verse 25. We are told, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. So even as Paul would encourage the Colossians, those with slaves, he would encourage the slaves, he would also encourage the masters to those slaves who are believers. That the slaves, you know, don't just seek the favor of your master when he is there, because you have the very sight of God. He is looking at your heart. You might be doing this just to please him, but are you doing it to glorify the Lord? And also, masters, are you treating your slaves in a manner, or your employees in this context, in a manner that will glorify the Lord? Because he has entrusted you with these very things, and he will also come to judge you. Again, in the book of James, we are reminded that teachers will also be judged harshly because of the position that they hold. And so accountability not only lies in this present context, but also in the future one. Again, in Ecclesiastes, we are told, how can one keep warm alone? An assurance that this world is cold.
True.
You know,
true.
Not only the cold of the morning, but it can be 12 noon. The sun is shining, but you are cold, you know. You have been hit, you have been struck with life, left, right, and center. Paul would also echo the same somewhere in the book of Corinthians, that he is perplexed, he feels distraught, he is all these things, yet he has stood. And so we are assured. He would say he's oppressed on every side, but he's not crushed. He's perplexed, but not in despair. He's persecuted, but not abandoned. He's struck down in the body, and he's all these things. And these are things that if you're a believer, you will certainly go through. And who else would you rather go through them with than with Christ and with the fellowship of believers and of brothers?
I think what is coming out clear is that no one is immune to accountability.
Sure.
In terms of each and every believer needs to be accountable to the fellow believers and also to God. And I'm also reminded of this time when Paul, Apostle Paul, sort of summons Cephas when he sees that he's not behaving in the correct manner, where he was like setting himself aside from the Gentiles, because his fellow friends, his fellow Jews were present. So the aspect of being knowing that each and every action you're doing it, knowing that in as much as no one else is watching or someone else is watching, at the basis of it all, maintaining your Christianity, knowing that it's God that we ultimately we are accountable to.
Amazing. I remember while in high school, there's a friend, Tim, it's called Tim. He would say, discipline is what you do when you're not being seen. But I'm like, doing this when you're not being seen, and where was God? Where was God? God was seen through your actions. And Zerika said, it is easier when we actually see God first and see fully. And I think that's worthwhile. That's worthwhile. Just to share something also, we can never. I think the Lord was so wise when he brought church to us. Yeah, have you ever before thought about it for once? What would we have done without the congregation? You know, what would we have done without the family or brethren? Have you ever imagined how your lives would be? Oh, you won't wonder Steve. Steve would be coming to church once in a while, you know? No, he's quite disciplined, actually. Just, yeah, and we are grateful to the Lord for all these things. But most importantly, all these things have a way. Accountability has a way of working through our character, you know, you opening up your life to people and to believers or to a friend. And it's also good when you can be something better every day. You know, today I was not able to do this, tomorrow I was better at. Tomorrow I did it less, you know. The other day I didn't do it at all. See, it is a bad habit or something. And so it has a way of working up our character to something that is good. It has a way of helping us tone down on the bad habits that we have, but ultimately it has a way of helping us to stand the test of time, you know. If it is an exhortation that Christ gave before he left, he told the disciples not to leave Jerusalem but to stick, and we find it so evident in Acts chapter 1 and 2, the whole account of the Holy Spirit coming in. They were meeting as brethren to pray and encouraging each other in the Lord. So it has a way, the meeting, the accountability has a way of helping us to still stick in the faith, to be encouraged and to find hope, but ultimately also to shepherd our character into something that is good every day, to be a better person for the good of everyone and for the good of ourselves as well.
Okay, maybe to I believe now that we have learned on accountability, and asking ourselves, in as much as accountability is this profitable, why is it that most people struggle with accountability? For me, I think one of the hindrances to accountability is where maybe, just as one of us has said, the teachers will be judged harshly. You find that if at all you place yourself on a pedestal, let's say, where you feel you umefika, people can, maybe you can question what other people are saying, but you don't allow other people to question what you preach or what you do. That, I feel, it will be a hindrance to accountability, because you won't see, just as looking at how Christ was teaching his disciples and telling them, why do you see the log in your friend's eye? Why do you see the speck in your friend's eye without being ready to remove the log in your eye? So what I would, in as much as accountability is important, you have to be intentional, not letting others just to be the ones who are accountable to you, but at the same time, your life being open, your life being having friends who can question the things you do and bring you to the truth once you go away, you go astray.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think as you're speaking, the hindrance that has come to mind is that we know we are weak, you know, and I think accountability comes with vulnerability, whereby you have to be open, and you have to be bare, as in a sense of nakedness, where your sin is presented before you, in full sight of everyone. You know, sometimes we can sort of try and live with it by ourselves, but now introducing a third party and then telling them, hey, see me, I know you give me that 500 to do this, but hey, where it went, I also don't know. You know, you fully know where it went, but the aspect of you being weak and you being your flaws being evident out there, also there's the place of shame where you may also want to, at least sometimes I do want to, you want to present a picture of strength, a picture of courage. You know, you are perfect. Things are streamlined. What you say, you do. You do. You're a man of your word. You know, you keep your vows. You don't break promises. You keep time. The way I kept time for this recording, you know.
he really kept time.
And so just being open and saying, by the way, I am sorry. Yes. I am sorry, I am unable, I am weak here, I am weak there, I can't do this for one reason or for another. And so that is I think one of the great hindrances to being accountable. And you're also reminded that Christ went more willingly to the cross than we do through the throne of grace. You know, he was more willing to die than we are more willing to receive mercy and grace from God himself. Even us running back to God and saying, hey, I know I said I will stop lying or I will stop cheating in exams, but what could I have done? And for the small and for the big sins that we do, coming back to God and saying, hey, like the prodigal son, I have done this, I have done that against you. Please forgive me.
Yeah, and also you know the way you want to be Batman or the comics. Mm. We want to be a superstar. Mm. But Christ, while accepting the will to die, he was heartbroken. Mm. That's why he went before the Lord in prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Wept bitterly.
And wept. Mm. And the Bible says his sweats were like drops of blood. So it was heavy on him, it was really mounting hard on him. But because he went to obtain mercy and he was willing to reveal his vulnerability, then that shows that we are not any different. Even the Lord, but he is the Lord and he still will be the Lord. But he went all through all that. Then we can as well confide in people and talk to them about what we truly need and what we are and what we're struggling with, so that we may obtain mercy, one, from the Lord, and secondly, that the Lord, through people, can shepherd us, and help us grow in our faith and in our walk with people and with the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, I think also as you're sharing, the life that we at times live is recorded in the book of Romans, where Paul says, that which I want to do, I do not do. And so being accountable to someone or to a brother, you know, it's like, yes, I told you I will do this, that, and the other, and then going back again and again, especially when it also comes to the problem of addiction, you know, that becomes a monster in itself.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you say you're an alcoholic and you're like, well, I have been born again, I want now to stop this. There's a way in which you come with the baggage to the walk of faith. God may also miraculously work through you that the desire completely disappears. But at times you still come with that tinge of sin inside of you that God still wants to renew. So time and again, you know, it's like the prayer that he would make, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body that is about to die? And so again and again and again, but again, also in Romans, we are told that the more sin abounded, grace abounded the more. So it's like your sin cannot outweigh the grace of God. And also as you are accountable to one another, there is the lie that we feel that the other person is also perfect. The reason we don't want to say that I am going through this is like, what do they think of me? You know, them, they look like they have everything also figured out. Yeah. But the reality is, they don't.
Yeah. We're all in this walk of faith, and we are really struggling. We are struggling with habits. We are struggling with sins. We are struggling with things. Mm-hmm. But we all, the more, run to the cross of Christ, that we may obtain. So if we paint a perfect self, then we are lying, we are cheating, we are not proper believers. You know, a believer is aware of their sins, a believer is aware of their struggles, and a believer is able to talk to people about it. Not to discourage someone, but to encourage someone, just find someone trusty enough who is a believer and talk to them about habits, sexual habits, you know, pornography, masturbation, and every motive, every other thing that we struggle with. The Lord is gracious enough to say. You know, the invitation is come as we are, you know, come as you are, you know, a hymn. The blood of Jesus is able to make the vilest offender clean. So, are you chief amongst them, like Paul would say, or are you better off than Paul? You know, Paul was a murderer by profession. You know? He was doing this for fun. It was his hobby. Yeah. And this is something that he was working towards. But even then, the grace of the Lord abounded all the more. So we can come as we are, and hopefully the Lord will be pleased to save us.
Yeah, I think what also comes out clearly as you were speaking is in regards to accountability, recognizing the depravity of man, and also the need for the continued working out of our salvation in fear and trembling. Usifike mali you feel nimefika, because it's at that point that just as the Bible says, be careful if you think you're standing, lest you trip. So the whole aspect or the whole importance of accountability is, one, recognizing that you're sinful, and it's only by you approaching the throne of grace with confidence and and laying out your sins out there so that they may be worked on. Sin thrives in secrecy. So the more you place it to yourself, the more you struggle with it. But once you expose it and find now the solution to it in the body of Christ, at times you may feel as if you're at this is something that's only happening to me. But if you're ready to expose it and find a solution to it in the body of Christ, you'll find people will lead you away from that addiction, just as you were speaking. Maybe at this point, maybe speaking of leaders with accountability, I think looking at Samuel, the farewell speech in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3, where even as he beat Samuel, we know the life of Samuel, him growing up at the temple, and him being ready to just expose himself and ask, I'll read, "Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whom, whose hands have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I'll make it right." Verse 4, which is a response, "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from one's hand." And also emphasizing, no one is immune to accountability. No matter where you serve, also for leaders, you need to be accountable than ever, because at the end of it all, each and every word you speak will be brought to account before God.
So he has talked about leadership. He has talked about our personal lives. There are so many other things that we can be accountable on. For those who are in a courtship, you need to find people who can work with you, and people who you can talk to about your struggles. And as we were praying before we began, a friend prayed and he's saying that those who are doing this, they should find older men who can shepherd them and work with them through the whole journey to marriage. So search and we can be accountable. Those are some of the spheres we can be accountable.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. We have had quite the discussion. So I'll be inviting us to wrap up. But I think as as both of us, or as all of us were talking, one of the driving forces to accountability is the awareness of our sinfulness. Such that unless we are confident that we've already been glorified, you know, that we are through with sanctification, we are perfect human beings, unless we have gotten to that point, which the answer is no, then we still need to be accountable, because we know that sin still indwells. It does not reign, but it still remains. So just walking in the awareness that, hey, I am weak at this point, I am weak at this other point, we ought to be accountable. And so I think also it gets to a point that the war against sin can become so tough. You really feel like you cannot overcome. You feel all alone. You feel desperate. You feel unguarded. The secure position that you are holding has sort of been removed. The pedestal that you mentioned, that you are standing on, that you thought was firm, is starting to shake. The walls around you are crumbling and they are falling down like the walls of Jericho. And so now you begin to wonder, whom will I run to, and where can I find this refuge? But yet, if we stand together, if you are able to be aware that you cannot do this all by yourself, then it won't get to the point where you're overwhelmed. It is also a form of security, that you are assured that the storms will come in this life, but you can still stand firm because there is someone there to hold your hand and for you to hold their hand. Yeah.
Parting shot would be doing it for the glory of the Lord, and is a good fuel for us to find someone to walk with us, one, and to find people to talk to about things, you know. And being determined enough to grow in this faith. You know, sanctification is two-way traffic. It is the Lord who enables us, right? But it's also us, also willing in our hearts to, again, say yes to, to these other things. The Lord has provided the grace to... He has helped us to see our sins. He has given us His Son. He is indwelling in us. But then there's also the point of us confessing to one another, one, and delighting in God's word. And by delighting in that, then we have the knowledge of what it means to walk in truth. So may the Lord really help us.
Sure.
My parting shot will be... each and every believer is a witness of the work, the cross. And to be a credible witness, I would call for accountability, where you, just as Samuel, as you have seen, Samuel being ready to just expose himself out there and ask, is there anyone I've wronged? I'm willing to make it right. Same to us as believers. Our being accountable to one another places us in that point where you don't have maybe a bullet pursuing you at the back. So you're comfortable that even as I am witnessing to my classmates, say, you don't have, like, you know that you don't cheat in during the exams. So it's not a hindrance to you witnessing to your fellow classmates. So accountability enhances your being a credible witness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, thank you all for the remarks. Maybe one more thing on accountability is that it also relieves you of your burdens, such that we are told, come to me all ye that are heavy laden. We are not to go there with no burdens, but you have to go to Him with burdens. You have to go to Christ with our yoke and with our cross. It's like, God, this is it, you know. These are my problems, these are my struggles, these are my difficulties. And so when you lay them there, He grants you His own yoke that is light and His burden that is easy. I don't know if I've gotten those two correctly. But yeah, it relieves you of the overwhelming nature. When I come and then, and I honestly tell Eric, hey, I'm going through this and through that, there is a form of relief that I have told someone that I shall come out better at the other end. I shall be warm, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I shall also stand. And there's also return for your labor. So thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in till this point. Bye.